So what? Over the course of the first dozen years, the JPP Foundation can legitimately lay claim to a wide variety of truly meaningful outcomes. It is difficult, if not impossible, to attribute most of these outcomes solely to the Foundation's efforts, but there is no question that JPP contributed meaningfully to all of these that follow. Funders are almost always seeking the holy grail of leverage, the great hope that their investment will inspire others, making their money and ideas go farther. This may mean that other funders realize that the work is valuable and dedicate their own resources to aspects of the work, or, even better, that governments, which can often apply much greater resources, take on the task. Some of the projects on this list certainly fall into that category. In many cases, a grant or a strategy is a success in its own right. While what follows is not an exhaustive list, it should provide others with a sense of what a foundation of its size can accomplish in a relatively short period of time. Poverty. To be clear, poverty is a systemic problem that no one foundation or group of foundations can solve. At the same time, it is just as clear that philanthropy can do a great deal to address root causes of poverty and deliver significant successes. The following examples show how. Helping new Americans become citizens. A JPP grantee since 2012, the New Americans Campaign has helped more than 650,000 lawful permanent residents become citizens, saving immigrant communities and their families over $723 million in legal and application fees. It has provided over $60 million in funding and built a national network of more than 200 trusted partners working in over 20 metropolitan areas. These partners provide free or low-cost naturalization assistance to eligible immigrants from all over the world and help increase the number of people applying for citizenship. The NAC is one example of how we helped immigrant families and communities while also supporting crucial policy advocacy and fostering a national network of organizations that promote coordination, peer learning, and best practices at the national and local levels. By supporting people who may not otherwise have access to the naturalization process, the NAC is a catalyst for adding new Americans to the civic engagement continuum, says Angela Chang, a senior program officer in the poverty program, who led the democracy portfolio for several years. Forgiving library fines. This may not be an example of systems change, but it does show how a relatively small amount of money can make a big difference in people's lives. In 2017, JPP gave a $2.25 million grant to the New York, Brooklyn, and Queens library systems to forgive library fines for young people and to have their library cards unblocked automatically. Before this amnesty, nearly one out of every five youth with library cards was blocked from borrowing materials due to fines of $15 or more. After the amnesty, there was a more than 60% increase in previously blocked children and teens checking out materials, especially in the lowest income neighborhoods. This helped lead a movement to remove fines. And since October 2021, the Brooklyn Library, the Queens New York Public Library, and the New York Public Library no longer charge late fines on overdue materials. This change has led to a significant increase in library usage, with more people checking out materials, applying for new library cards, and attending library programs. Reducing burdensome fines and fees. JPP joined forces with Arnold Ventures as the initial funders to launch the Fines and Fees Justice Center in 2018. The center has become an important part of the movement for reform, working collaboratively with affected communities to address gaps in the field. In 2019, JPP also began funding cities and counties for fine and fee justice, a national network to advance reform. JPP's funding helped incubate a highly effective movement of local reform. The work helped eliminate dozens of fees and led to the discharge of over $100 million of associated debt for low-income individuals and their families. It has also helped restore thousands of driver's licenses, allowing people to travel to work, helped obtain housing and health care, and sparked many jurisdictions to look critically at their fine and fee practices. As Annie Greengard, senior program officer in the poverty program, who created an Access to Civil Justice portfolio of grants, noted, "When we started funding these organizations, we could never have predicted how quickly fines and fees reform would spread across the country." Protecting renters from evictions. Providing tenants with legal representation is a proven method to prevent evictions. JPP's funding has been instrumental in advancing the Right to Counsel movement by supporting partnerships that offer assistance to various organizations working to protect tenants. Since JPP's initial grant to the National Council for a Civil Right to Counsel and New York Law School, Right to Counsel protections have been implemented in dozens of jurisdictions. The movement has strengthened its ties to racial justice and organizing communities. A complementary grant to Equal Justice Works established a core of public interest attorneys and organizers to combat eviction in high-risk cities. This model, tested in Virginia and replicated in Maryland and South Carolina, achieved a 77% success rate for tenants, secured over $1.58 million in benefits for 2,000 households at risk of eviction, and supported successful housing reform movements. During the pandemic, which severely affected renters, JPP's grantees launched initiatives like the Eviction Resistance Legal Network to mobilize housing lawyers. They also cultivated learning communities for housing organizers and trained lawyers to learn new ways to protect tenants. Planned Parenthood's breakthrough on technology. This is described in the chapter on risk, but it bears repeating here. The Foundation's support for Planned Parenthood's two important technological breakthroughs has improved women's health and saved many lives. One project helped Planned Parenthood create an online tool that would help patients find a clinic, book appointments, and order medication. The other created a chat text program that helped young people speak to a health educator by text, a vital tool in helping young patients get the help they need. Medicare funds the YMCA's Diabetes Prevention Program. In its early days, the foundation scored a significant success with the YMCA's initiative to expand and replicate its diabetes prevention program through its network. This initiative united various partners, including other foundations, managed care plans, and national commercial health insurers, and was eventually funded under Medicare, a dramatic expansion of the program. While there were eventually challenges with implementation, there are nevertheless many lessons to be learned about how to create a program that gets adopted and widely distributed with government resources. Reducing child poverty. Addressing the impact of poverty on children and families was a constant across portfolio areas. JPP-supported research revealed that even brief periods of poverty can cause children, especially young children, lifelong harm. Subsidizing income in less wealthy families helps children to have better health, education, and higher incomes later in life. The research revealed that the best way to reduce child poverty is a funding mechanism called a child allowance, which is a stable source of direct cash to supplement family income. JPP supported the leading groups researching and advocating to increase the child tax credit, along with the earned income tax credit. And implementation of these policies at the federal level during the COVID pandemic led to lifting millions of children out of poverty. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimated that the child tax credit cut child poverty for Black children by 52%, Hispanic children by 45%, and American Indian, Alaska Native children by 62%. An astonishing achievement. Barbara was an early funder of Harlem Children's Zone, making grants through the Picower Foundation. During that time, the organization became a nationally recognized service and education organization, broadly addressing its community's challenges while sharing what works with communities around the globe. JPP's most recent grant to Harlem Children's Zone supports an economic mobility initiative aimed at closing the racial wealth gap caused by systemic racism. The project offers comprehensive financial assistance, including cash aid, college savings accounts, investment funds for young adults, financial education, and career support for Black entrepreneurs and professionals. It also provides scholarships, debt reduction assistance, retirement account contributions, and improved access to financial services. Additionally, the initiative advocates for systemic solutions like affordable housing and the earned income tax credit. The project has raised over $100 million. Medical research. The nature of medical research often follows what might be thought of as a linear relationship in terms of risk and reward. In other words, the higher the risk, the greater the reward. Here are some examples of breakthrough research that likely would not have gone funded but for JPP support. Using magnetic fields as non-invasive therapies. Dr. Jeffrey Friedman is a molecular geneticist at Rockefeller University and is an advisor to and a longtime grantee of JPP. His lab conducted a series of studies funded by the foundation that he admits we never would have gotten funding for elsewhere. They developed a method to control the activity of selected nerve cells they targeted with a molecular switch that can be activated by exposure to a magnetic field. It was like something out of Star Trek, Dr. Friedman recalls. Dr. Friedman, who primarily studies diabetes, partnered with Dr. Michael Caplet, a JPB grantee working on Parkinson's disease, a partnership that was itself a product of the foundation's encouragement of cross-discipline collaboration. They used this magnetogenetic method to study brain circuits that control glucose metabolism and later showed they could use the approach in mice to stop nerve cells from sending pain signals, offering quick relief. In ongoing research, the team is developing the method as a non-invasive alternative to deep brain stimulation, a therapy for severe Parkinson's disease in which electrodes are surgically implanted in the brain to control movement symptoms. Their method might offer similar benefits just by using a magnetic field. New breakthroughs on diabetes. An example of highly promising scientific research on diabetes that may prove to be groundbreaking can be found in the JPB-funded research of Domenico Mimmo Achilli of Columbia University. One form of the disease, type 1 diabetes, arises when a person loses their insulin-producing cells completely by autoimmune attack. Type 2 diabetes is different. It begins when the body stops responding to insulin properly, which is called insulin resistance. In response, the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, called beta cells, struggle to produce more insulin to overcome this problem. Over time, the beta cells can fail, leading to severe diabetes. It was always assumed that these beta cells were dying. However, Dr. Achilli's hypothesis, for which he's gathering additional evidence, suggests that the beta cells don't die, but instead regress into a dormant phase. The exciting part is that this process may be reversible and their function might be restored. Finding ways to reverse this process would enable novel and powerful ways to treat diabetes. Another transformative approach for diabetes treatment would be to replace the body's insulin-producing beta cells. With partial support from JPB and inspired by the diabetes diagnosis of his two children, grantee Dr. Doug Melton pioneered a process to convert human stem cells into insulin-producing beta cells as a treatment for patients with type 1 diabetes. Previously, the only treatment for patients with the severest version of the disease was a pancreas transplant. In early-stage clinical trials, patients who have received the stem cell-derived beta cells are able to produce their own insulin and achieve healthy blood glucose levels. We've been looking for something like this to happen literally for decades, Dr. Earl Hirsch, a diabetes expert at the University of Washington, told the New York Times. Using stem cells to treat Parkinson's. Another grantee, Dr. Lorenz Studer, has also made important progress in stem cell research. In this case, by developing a method to coax stem cells to become functional dopamine-producing neurons, the nerve cells that are lost in Parkinson's disease. This breakthrough, which took decades, has yielded promising results in early-stage clinical trials of patients with Parkinson's, and similar methods could be used for other brain diseases. His efforts helped him win a MacArthur Fellowship, among other awards, as well as additional support from the Aligning Science Across Parkinson's Initiative, a partnership with the Michael J. Fox Foundation. A Nobel Prize nomination for a low-cost COVID vaccine. We mentioned this in the chapter on risk, but it bears repeating here. Dr. Peter Hotez's team at the Baylor College of Medicine developed a safe, inexpensive vaccine that didn't require expensive storage, producing 100 million doses for countries that couldn't afford other options. Dr. Hotez's work earned him a Nobel Prize nomination, recognition from the National Academy of Medicine, and a place in Time Magazine's Top 100 in Health. Environment. As the environment program expanded, it developed new focus areas. This led to a series of larger and larger victories as communities secured more resources across several organizations to take on big challenges and do the kind of advocacy necessary to succeed. As with many aspects of philanthropy, there's often a brief window of social or political opportunity to secure big wins. In this case, JPB grantees were able to take full advantage when the opportunities presented themselves, leading to a set of very impressive achievements. Networks. By working through networks, the foundation could support work that was aligned across various organizations, locations, and areas of expertise, rather than focusing narrowly on a single operational goal of any one entity. These networks took different forms. Some were initially funded solely by JPP to accelerate proven practices across the country. These included the Highline Network, which is a group of infrastructure reuse projects, and Forest in Cities Network, which advances forested natural areas in cities across the U.S. JPP also funded the organizations that supported networks of community-based organizing entities like PowerSwift Action, People's Action, Climate Justice Alliance, the Partnership for Resilient Communities Leaders of Color Network, Growing the Great Lakes Lead Elimination Network, the Sustainable Forestry and African American Land Retention Network, the Funders Network, the National Land Bank Network, and the Women's Earth and Climate Action Network. And networks like the Green New Deal Network were formed to accelerate systems change. Networks were a powerful tool for JPP to invest in because of their wide geographic reach. They also made it possible to better understand the dynamics of place-based work. This made it easier for the foundation to directly invest in certain communities as opportunities arose. When threats to those communities emerged, JPP could provide emergency relief funding. Building a market for healthy products. Success doesn't always come in the form of policy change or even behavior change. Encouraging businesses to change their practices can change markets in ways that protect consumers' health and the environment. The work of the Healthy Affordable Materials Project, which we write about in the partnership chapter, is a great example. Another is the Mind the Store campaign, which involves several JPP grantees, including the Ecology Center and Toxic Free Future. It convinced Home Depot to remove 12 toxic chemicals from various product categories, such as flooring, paints, adhesives, and cleaning supplies. These chemicals are linked to cancer, respiratory issues, endocrine disruption, and other health risks. Home Depot's effort includes working with suppliers to find safer alternatives and spurred them to be transparent about product ingredients. A host of other retailers have joined this commitment, including Lowe's, Amazon, Target, and Walmart, among others. Eliminating exposure to lead paint. Thanks to the advocacy work of many, including JPP's grantees, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Office of Lead Hazard Control and Healthy Homes received a significant increase in its budget from $110 million in 2014 to $410 million annually. And another $420 million was allocated for the 2024 Lead Hazard Reduction Grant Program. One of JPP's longtime grantees, the Green and Healthy Homes Initiative, played a pivotal role in securing the nation's largest healthcare investment in lead abatement, with $50 million from Penn Medicine Lancaster General Hospital, leading to the remediation of 3,000 homes and the creation of opportunities for BIPOC contractors. Several organizations played key roles in securing investments from healthcare providers and advising government agencies on using funds for lead abatement and asthma reduction. This work has extended to many cities and states, focusing on increasing lead remediation funding, improving housing standards, and developing more efficient service delivery models. Their advocacy led to stricter lead water standards in schools, more aggressive policies for replacing lead service lines, and a significant congressional allocation aimed at eliminating all lead lines in the U.S. within a decade. In Maryland, these efforts contributed to a 55% decrease in lead poisoning cases between 2011 and 2021. Setting the standard for park equity. The work of Trust for Public Land's 10-Minute Walk program, which we reference in the section on supporting grantees, has produced significant benefits for the organization and for communities across the country. Thanks to its focus on underserved communities, building partnerships with local governments, creating data and mapping tools, engaging with communities, and advocating for policy change, the 10-Minute Walk is now considered a standard for equitable park access. In addition, JPP funded the ParkServe Geographic Information Systems Mapping Platform, a first-of-its-kind, free online tool to track urban parks, trails, and other outdoor spaces nationwide, and has become an essential resource to help agencies and communities set priorities. Cities across the country have adopted policies to increase park access for all residents, and more successes are in the works from coast to coast. Cleaning up coal ash dumps across the country. In 2024, grantee Earth Justice and the JPP-established Coal Ash Fund achieved a significant victory with the EPA's new rule mandating the cleanup of hundreds of coal ash dumps across the U.S. The new rule requires comprehensive cleanup and monitoring of all coal ash dumps, including those at retired plants and inactive landfills. This change ensures that communities near these sites are better protected from hazardous pollutants including arsenic and mercury, which are linked to serious health issues. Earth Justice's litigation and grassroots activism were crucial in bringing about this regulatory change, holding coal plants accountable to safeguard public health and the environment. JPP's funding helped make sure the grassroots groups necessary to participate in the litigation had the resources to do so. Massive victories for the environmental health and justice movement. Lois Gibbs helped alert the nation about the toxic waste problem at Love Canal in upstate New York in the late 1970s, leading to the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency's Superfund program. Perhaps as important, she is credited with helping start the environmental justice movement. Yet Gibbs and her organization, the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, struggled to attract funding from philanthropy. JPB has been one of the organization's stalwart funders, allowing them to provide training, resources, and support to over 15,000 individuals and grassroots groups fighting against environmental justices in their communities. This support has empowered local activists and strengthened community-led environmental movements. The victories are too numerous to list, but they include shutting down landfills and hazardous waste incinerators, cleaning up contaminated lands, shutting down chemical plants, stopping gas pipelines, and many, many more. As Gibbs notes, JPB was our only big money. The value of this work, which would be carried out by a host of dedicated organizations, has many layers, according to Ogunaya Dotson Newman, a senior program officer in the Environment Program, who grew and managed the environmental health portfolio. Environmental health is at the core of climate and environmental justice, she said. Understanding the interconnectedness between where we live, work, play, and pray, and how it impacts our health is essential to understanding our connection to the planet and our fundamental survival. The environmental health portfolio made connections across energy, housing, ecology, design, research, training, organizing, and advocacy, and engaged a wide array of people working to make the world a better place, she said, creating thousands of clean energy jobs. When the Inflation Reduction Act was passed in 2022, it made nearly $400 billion available for clean energy investments. Fortunately, communities across the country were prepared, thanks to efforts like the JPP-funded American Jobs Project, which was launched by Jennifer Granholm, former Michigan governor and then U.S. Energy Secretary. Granholm led the American Jobs Project at UC Berkeley to promote economic growth through clean energy and innovation. She crisscrossed the nation to raise awareness, build support, and foster collaboration. The project developed state-specific strategies to boost local clean energy industries, creating jobs and fostering sustainable development. When the Inflation Reduction Act was launched, many communities were ready. The project spurred job creation in the energy sector through targeted state strategies, favorable policies, workforce development, and industry partnerships. Increased investments in clean energy projects, along with innovation in research and development, led to jobs in the solar, wind, and energy efficiency industries, including manufacturing, installation, and maintenance, significantly boosting local economies and advancing the clean energy transition. Helping renters and tribal communities go solar. Grid Alternatives is a national leader in helping economic and environmental justice communities nationwide get clean, affordable, renewable energy, transportation, and jobs. The foundation provided long-term funding, including support during COVID to keep the organization stable. In particular, the foundation has helped launch Grid's Tribal Solar Accelerator Fund, a grant-making program supporting new solar projects in tribal communities across the country. JPB also helped provide funding that helped inspire the Biden-Harris administration's $7 billion Solar for All program. Unlocking billions of public dollars. As we noted in the section on helping grantees succeed, the Energy Efficiency for All initiative, which brings together organizations focusing on utility policy, energy efficiency, housing, coalition building, and environmental and housing justice, has achieved significant successes despite weathering internal challenges. Since its launch in 2013, Energy Efficiency for All has secured $769 million from utility companies and state energy offices to retrofit housing, improving comfort, health, efficiency, and affordability for hundreds of thousands. JPP supported organizations during an unprecedented increase in federal funding. JPP's strategy prepared its grantees to capitalize on this historic opportunity, including seed funding for the Justice 40 Accelerator, which helps Black and grassroots communities secure government funding. This project was created by several JPP grantees, including the Partnership for Southern Equity, Elevate, and the Solutions Project, and early funding to the Communities First Fund. With years of grant support to build organizational capacity, many grantees secured significant awards. American Forests received a $50 million award from the USDA Forest Service for urban tree canopy expansion. The Institute for Sustainable Communities, partnering with other JPP grantees, secured $50 million from the EPA's Environmental Justice Thriving Communities Program. The U.S. Endowment for Forestry and Communities, collaborating with JPP grantees, obtained $20 million from the USDA Forest Service to help underserved landowners gain access to emerging markets. JPP was the lead private funder, enabling these transformational awards. In the green infrastructure portfolio alone, grantees secured over $500 million in public funding. JPP's core support for reimagining the civic commons helped participating cities tap into substantial funds. Since 2016, Reimagining the Civic Commons demonstration cities have directly unlocked over $100 million in new funding and encouraged an additional $300 million of follow-on investment in reimagining the Civic Commons communities. By early 2024, nearly every participating city, 10 out of 12, had secured federal investment to accelerate or build upon local reimagining the Civic Commons efforts. JPP's strategy of investing in networks, alliances, and collective efforts yielded millions more in funding opportunities for its grantees.